The bullet that killed Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh is revealed. It's adding to mounting evidence that a special Israeli military unit is responsible. Will this force Israel into taking action, and who can conduct a transparent investigation? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Foliba Thibault. Al Jazeera has uncovered more evidence that a special Israeli military unit shot dead our colleague Shireen Abu Akleh. This network has obtained an exclusive photo of the bullet that killed the Palestinian-American journalist in the occupied West Bank last month. Experts say it's a type used by Israeli soldiers and is designed to pierce body armor. Other investigations suggest Abu Akleh was deliberately targeted while doing her job as a journalist. But Israel continues to reject calls for a full and independent investigation. We'll bring in our guests in just a moment, but first, this report from Assad Beg.
The remains of the bullet that killed journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. This image is being broadcast for the first time and shows the type of ammunition used to kill the veteran Al Jazeera journalist in the occupied West Bank last month. According to experts, the green-tip bullet is capable of piercing armor and is used in an M4 rifle. When we simulated the green-tip bullet using 3D models, and according to ballistic and forensic experts, the munition that ended Shireen's life was a 5.56mm caliber. The bullet was first designed and manufactured in the United States. According to the Palestinian Prosecutor's Office and the autopsy report, the bullet entered the lower part of Shireen's head, ricocheted off her helmet, and lodged itself in her head.
Well, I think another interesting fact, or a fact that has to be brought into consideration, is the fact that there are a number of strike marks on the tree next to which Shireen was standing. And that indicates to me that there was not, you know, she didn't die as a result of a random shot, as a result of the fight that was going on at the moment. The fact that there were a number of rounds that struck that tree and that she was also hit would indicate that she, it looks very much like she was being targeted at the time.
We have used 3D models to identify the types of weapons Israeli soldiers were using in this video. We found it was a M4 rifle, the type of gun that uses 5.56 caliber bullets. Open source data supports the fact the Israeli special unit accused of shooting Shireen uses this type of weapon, used in a non-combat situation, fired by the Israeli army at clearly identifiable journalists doing her job. Justice for Shireen is yet to be delivered. Accountability has still not taken place. Questions remain unanswered, including if an order was given to kill her. Why was she shot despite being clearly marked as a journalist and posed no threat? What made an Israeli soldier target her from such a short range? All of this is further reason why the Palestinian Authority and Al Jazeera Media Network have demanded an independent investigation into the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh. Assad Beg, Al Jazeera.
Now let's take a look at the investigations that have been carried out so far. On the day of Shireen's killing on May 11th, Israel released a video blaming Palestinian gunmen. But just a day later, the Israeli rights group B'Tselem disputed that claim. It found the video did not match the location where she was shot. The Palestinian Authority concluded 2 weeks later that Israeli forces deliberately targeted Abu Akleh. Al Jazeera announced the network would file a case with the International Criminal Court. Separate investigations by the Associated Press, CNN and the Washington Post have found Abu Akleh was likely killed by Israeli fire. And earlier this month, the Palestinian foreign minister took the results of its investigation to the ICC. Now, Palestinian leaders say they've also presented their findings to the U.S. administration. The Assistant Minister for Multilateral Affairs is urging Washington to investigate the death of one of its own citizens.
We think that there is enough evidence by Palestine and by all other outlets, including Al-Haq, B'Tselem, Al Jazeera Today, CNN, and the Washington Post, all of these, different investigative reports that had proved that Shireen was targeted without reasonable doubt by Israeli soldiers. have been also present before the eyes of the U.S. administration. What we're asking now is that the U.S. do right by Shireen and does exactly what it did in other occasions where American citizens were targeted, let alone her being a journalist.
Well, let's now bring in our guests in Tel Aviv, Ori Givati, Advocacy Director at Breaking the Silence, an organization of Israeli military veterans working to bring an end to the occupation. In Haifa, Sausan Zaher, a human rights lawyer and a board member of the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem. And in Miami, Ahmad Abuznaid, Executive Director at the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. Welcome to you all to Inside Story. Thank you very much for being with us. Ori Givati, if I can start with you in Tel Aviv. From your experience serving in the Israeli military, can you tell us first whether the type of bullet that was used in Shireen's killing, the 5.56 caliber, is one that is commonly used by the Israeli military, and for what purpose?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you, Folly, for inviting me, and hello to everyone who participates with me here together. I commend Al Jazeera for continuing to dive deep into this investigation. It's extremely important for anyone who cares about human rights and Palestinian rights. For your question, look, definitely this bullet is the most common used bullet in the military, right? The 5.56. There is definitely a difference with the green tip that is shown in the investigation Al Jazeera conducted in the photo. But I'm not an expert of the difference between the different specific types of 5.56. What I can definitely tell you is 5.56 is extremely commonly used, not only in the Israeli military. It's one of the most commonly used bullets that we have generally.
Ori, the Israelis know which unit was deployed to the Jenin refugee camp on the day that Shireen was killed, on May 11th. They know this. Would they have investigated and questioned members of this unit? What is the process that the military goes through when an incident such as this one happens, when a Palestinian, a civilian, is killed?
Look, I think it's extremely important to acknowledge the fact that while the military itself has its own kind of internal investigation mechanism, those kind of investigations are not really intended for accountability, right? So it's possible that inside a unit, some soldiers were questioned. I'm pretty sure that happened. But the intention is not really accountability for the result. And I can tell you this as a former soldier. I can tell you this from the point of view of over 1,300 soldiers who gave testimony to Breaking the Silence, that there isn't any mechanism for real accountability. And the reason for that is because Israel clearly understands that any real investigation into any of the killing of innocent people, and it's really important to remember that a killing of innocent Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza happens on a weekly basis. Yeah, Israel clearly understands that real investigations into these killings will always lead us to the root cause. And the root cause is the occupation, is the fact that we are sending fully armed soldiers of one of the strongest armies in the world to fight and shoot inside civilian population. And this is what will be discovered in every single type of this investigation. And that's the reason why there is no way for the military to conduct a real serious investigation into these cases.
Ori, I'll come back to you in just a few minutes to ask you more about what your organization has uncovered when it comes to the Israeli military's dealings in the occupied territory. Sausan in Haifa, if I can come to you and ask your opinion about this latest revelation about the type of bullet that killed Shireen Abu Akleh. This, in addition to the investigations that have been led by the Palestinian Authority, various news outlets like CNN and the Washington Post, do you think this will force Israel to take some sort of action now?
Well, let me begin by saying that until now, there was basically no body or country or institution that said no for an investigation, any kind of investigation. The question is, what type, what frame, and what body? Even the Israelis, from day one, even though they changed their mind, and they changed the narrative and their story. Mm-hmm. They basically said, we are offering the Palestinians to have a collaborative investigation under the supervision of the USA. But that's not the issue. This is not the question. There are clear evidence, as you mentioned, and as was mentioned in the report, there are clear evidence whether that was investigated by AP, by Washington Post, by CNN, Palestinian Authority, and on the ground from day one, that all the evidence and witnesses are clear that Shireen was shot even deliberately. She was assassinated deliberately, knowing that she is a journalist doing her job. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, what body should investigate? And this is what Israel will reject. And even, I must say, the U.S. will reject.
Right. But one of the Israeli demands, Halson, one of the Israeli demands is that the Palestinians hand over this bullet, the bullet that killed Shireen Abu Akleh. And they've been reportedly applying pressure on the U.S. government to put pressure on the Palestinians to hand over this bullet. Do you think that would make a difference, whether or not Israel gets its hand on this bullet?
Whether or not they have the bullet, the Israelis' conclusion of any investigation they will do is very clear, that they are not accountable, they are not responsible, and probably, whether we like it or not, they will probably say that this is not our bullet. Mm. Already from the coverage in the media yesterday and today after Al Jazeera exposed the photo of the bullet, the immediate response of the Israelis was, it might not be ours because a lot of people in Jenin, a lot of activists in Jenin have the same bullet and we cannot know if it's from the army or if it's from people in Jenin who were using their guns.
Right.
So it doesn't matter the bullet is in which hand. I must say that Israel will do everything. It doesn't matter in which frame the investigation will be in order to give itself and its soldiers and all the chain of command in the army a clear impunity for its actions, mm-hmm. without relation to the bullet, it's in its hand or the Palestinian's hand.
Okay, let me bring Ahmed Abu Znaid into the conversation. Ahmed, it's likely that the rifle and the bullet that was used to kill Shireen Abu Akleh came from manufacturers in the United States. The U.S., we know, pays for 20% of Israel's military budget. There is a U.S. law, the Leahy Act, which says that the U.S. cannot provide any support or training to any military unit in the world that has carried out human rights violations. How much do you think these latest revelations put pressure, not just on Israel, but on the U.S. government and the Biden administration, which is planning a visit to the region very soon?
Well, unfortunately, not enough pressure. Let me start off by saying that during the Great March of Return, when the people of Gaza were marching towards the borders of their ancestral homelands, the Israelis released a tweet saying that with 30,000 people marching towards their borders, that they knew where every single bullet landed. Now, if 30,000 people marching and this military feels confident enough to tweet out that they know where every bullet landed, then we should know that from the day Shireen was shot, we knew where the bullet originated, mm-hmm. and we certainly knew where it landed. And so what we're all talking about here is accountability. And right. what you've referenced with Leahy Law is what we're looking for is accountability and justice. And sadly, we haven't seen enough pressure by the Biden administration, by members of Congress on the state of Israel to provide a fair and credible investigation
right.
or to provide healing for the wound.
Do you think right? the upcoming trip by President Biden to the region could be a catalyst, perhaps, to find some answers?
I think that, you know, Air Force One will fly over Shireen's grave as they land in the Holy Land in Palestine. And that will be the closest that President Biden will come to touching the subject. I don't really believe that President Biden or the administration cares for the livelihood of Palestinian Americans or Palestinians on the ground. Again, if you want to heal a wound, the first thing you do is you stabilize that wound and you stop the bleeding. But the people of Masafer Yatta are fighting for their lands. The people of Sheikh Jarrah are fighting for the homes. The people of Gaza are still behind a blockade with no accountability for the death and destruction that we saw just last year and over the decades. If we remember, one last point, We knew who had the bomb that blew up an entire media building just last year. And again, the question is, who will hold Israel accountable? And sadly, it is not the United States at this time.
Do you think if Shireen Abu Akleh had been of another nationality and an American, she has dual citizenship, of course, if she had been, let's say, Ukrainian-American, would the Biden administration have acted differently?
Well, it's clear there's a hypocritical nature with which U.S. foreign policy is applied. We can see that the U.S. has not fallen short of sanctions against states like Russia or Iran, mm-hmm. or you name several other states where they have enacted sanctions. And yet with the killing of a U.S. citizen, with the repeated violations of human rights, we never see the U.S. move to that result. So again, we see the hypocritical nature of this foreign policy and something that Americans like myself have been demanding change on for decades.
All right. Ori Gitavi in Tel Aviv, let me come back to you and find out more about some of the work your organization has been doing. Tell us more about what your group has seen and documented when it comes to the treatment of Palestinians by Israeli forces. What kind of instructions or orders do Israeli soldiers receive when they're operating in the occupied Palestinian territory? And is there a difference between the orders they receive and what actually happens on the ground?
Yeah, thank you, Foley. It's a very broad question, and I think maybe one of the best ways I can start answering that is what I was told 6 years ago. It was the last time I served myself in the occupied territories around the city of Qalqilia in the center of the West Bank. The first thing that I was told by my commander when we arrived to that area was that our mission is to make all of the Palestinians feel like they cannot lift their head up. And this encapsulates basically our military conduct in the occupied territories. Because when we look at what's going on in Mesafeya, right, declaration of a firing zone in order to expel over 1,500 people. When we look at settler violence that is ravaging on without any accountability, not for the settlers and not for the military who doesn't stop them. When we look at home invasions, when we look at invasions to Palestinian cities and towns and villages on a daily basis like Jenin, like the incident where Shireen was shot and killed. All of this is intended to make Palestinians feel like they cannot lift their head up. How will we do it? We will always send our soldiers like me, into the Palestinian cities, into their homes. Yeah, and when we look more specifically, on the orders of rules of engagement, which I assume that's what you meant. When are we allowed? When are we not allowed to open fire? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a set of orders. There is a set of orders of what we're allowed to do, how and when we are as soldiers are allowed to open fire against Palestinians. There is a set of orders. But in the end, when we look at what's happening on the ground, we have testimonies of soldiers who talk about, you know, in the end, when you're inside a city, when there is violence, yeah, there is violence inside those cities, there is violence against those soldiers in many cases, you will see that the rules are a little bit different than what's happening. Yeah, I'll give you an example. A commander of the Nahal Brigade a few years ago, a stone is thrown on his car, okay, by a Palestinian youth, a kid. He exits the car and shoots that Palestinian who threw the stone in his back while he's escaping already. He's not a threat anymore. Uh-huh. This commander is still a commander in the military, progressed in the military. Yeah, zero accountability. Even all of the details I just told you are undisputable.
Right.
Yeah. And this is the guy who gives the orders to his soldiers of rules of engagement and completely violated them in that scene.
So zero accountability in most cases, you say. Sausen, let me come back to you just to bring it back to the case with Shireen Abu Akleh here. You have an investigation that was carried out by the Palestinians. They've referred it now to the International Criminal Court. Al Jazeera also wants to see the International Criminal Court investigate this. Where do you see this case headed now? Can there be an independent, credible investigation to get to the bottom of what happened?
Yes, I think the focus should be whether the ICC will indeed open an investigation in the murder or assassination of Shireen Abu Aqli, because having submitting the complaint to the ICC, meanwhile, doesn't mean anything but a political legal statement that it was submitted. But I think also, of course, this is the right thing, because the question is what kind of investigation can lead to remedy of enforcement and accountability. And the ICC is the only body and legal frame that can lead to a specific remedy of personal accountability of specific people that will be found guilty in Shireen's death. And this is why going or submitting a complaint to the ICC is the most important thing on a legal level. On a political level, the US, and we heard that a lot as well from the Secretary of State and from the UN ambassador, the US ambassador to the UN, that they were demanding investigation. And as I mentioned before, the Israelis didn't object to have a collaborative investigation, and the EU as well was demanding. But these kinds of investigations are not enough, because they will not lead to accountability. They will not lead to enforcement of imprisonment in case a specific person, whether the soldier, whether the commander of the military unit that was present in Jenin the day that Shireen was shot, whether the commander of the army itself. And this is why the ICC is important, because right. It looks on personal accountability that can be enforced on an imprisonment level, that no other investigation can do that. Investigations will probably lead to lack of political will to pressure Israel to take responsibility, which has really no basis, and everyone knows that it will lead to nothing.
Ahmed, do you agree with Salsin that a case at the ICC could lead to accountability?
I think it's the best bet that we have. We certainly do not trust Israel to investigate itself. Ori has shed some light onto why that's a fruitless possibility. So we certainly look to the ICC, because this is exactly what the ICC was established for. It was established so that in times where folks need to be held accountable to the standards of international law, that this body that we created collectively, you know, as a world community, would hold those folks accountable.
But that the U.S. So doesn't support.
Of course. Again, there is a hypocritical nature with which U.S. foreign policy operates. And so the U.S. is fine with promoting the values of international human rights. But of course, they're not going to speak too loudly when it's their colleagues, perpetuating these violations of human rights. And Israel, of course, is a repeat offender, with which the U.S. repeatedly defends. And so the ICC is certainly more trustworthy for us as a U.S. community.
Now, I know you're a legal expert, and I was speaking, Ahmed, a few weeks ago to the former chief prosecutor of the ICC, who suggested that a civil case in the U.S. could also be an option to consider. Would you agree with that?
You know, I think I'll leave that up to some other legal minds. You know, we're having our hands full right now with making sure that at the grassroots level, folks know how to take action. We want to continue to uplift the calls for justice for the people of Masaya Fariyatta. We want to continue to uplift the calls for the ICC investigation of the killing of Shireen Abu Aqli. But as far as the legal solutions, I think there are plenty of organizations prepared to take those next steps.
Okay, Ori, I'll give you the last word in Tel Aviv. Where do you see this case going now? And is there any way, from your experience serving in the Israeli military, is there any way you think there can be accountability here?
Look, unfortunately, I have to say that at this point in time, Israel is not allowing any type, not only of accountability about this case, but any type of accountability or criticism against the way we occupy the Palestinians for decades. Yeah, we are seeing it not only in this case, but in every type of criticism against Israel.
Right.
And unfortunately, today the mechanism. I'll just finish in one word. Really important. The mechanism that our government today is using is weaponizing the term of anti-Semitism in order to block all criticism. That is something we all, as people who strive for human rights, have to fight, because criticism of Israel is definitely not anti-Semitism.
Thank you so very much for a great conversation. Thank you for being with us, Ori Givati, Sausan Zahar and Ahmed Abu Znaid. Thank you for being on Inside Story. And thank you for watching. You can always see the program again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Fully Batibo, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye for now.